These are the last words that we have to, from St. Luke's Gospel. Advice from our Lord. It's grounded on the fact that everything we know will come to an end as it now exists, including ourselves. Now, this notion, don't get drowsy from carousing and drunkenness. Anxiety breeds a desire for alcohol and other drugs. And it's because of the fear of what could happen. But there's another drug. It's called, by our Lord here, the anxieties of daily life. Worrying about this, worrying about that, worrying about the other thing. And your hearts get drowsy with this. Now, we don't get drowsy worrying. Worrying keeps us awake. Some people can't sleep worrying about the finances and their own and the nation's. It's a different kind of drowsiness. It's that kind of drowsiness, and this is what our Lord in His kindness is warning about. We get so preoccupied with everything around us, our activities, our success, our failure, our money, that we kind of fall asleep in regard to the things that really matter. Prophets are raised up and awakened so that they are alert to what's really going on. And they try to tell the rest of us. So that day will not surprise us like a trap. As I was reading this, I was thinking, you know, we live in an enormous amount of comfort and ease. Oh, everybody's a little bit troubled by the financial situation. But these words make so much more sense to somebody living in the Sudan. Don't get so preoccupied that you miss the real picture. But it's in one way easier for them, in another way harder, because what surrounds them is so evanescent, so uncertain, that they have to place their trust in God. Whereas, I don't think anybody here is concerned about whether they're going to have breakfast this morning. But there are a lot of people who are. And our Lord is trying to warn us. Now the funny thing about it is that those with a lot of money are much more anxious than those who don't have any. It's kind of funny, isn't it? You'd think, here we got a car, we got a bank account, we got this, we got that. We're worried about everything. And the really poor are not. They somehow have a sense, well, I sure hope it all works out. And with it, a sense of God. And that's what our Lord is telling us. Because He says, that day, the day when everything ends, will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. So be vigilant at all times. I haven't done it, but it would be a wonderful thing for somebody to go through and count how many times our Lord has told us to be vigilant, to be awake, to be smart, to know what's really going on. That only happens with a life of prayer. Doesn't happen any other way. Unless we're praying, taking time to be silent and looking at the Lord, learning from the Lord, pondering the scriptures, our hearts become drowsy. Be vigilant at all times. Because not only should we be ready for this moment when we stand before the Son of Man, we should be ready for all the moments in between when our Lord has something to say to us, when our Lord has something that He wants us to change in our lives. Vigilance. You can take a wonderful example of this, the agony in the garden. That terrible moment in our Lord's life when the disciples were all sound asleep. Now, as the gospel writers write that, particularly St. Mark, you see, we have this notion. Here is Jesus facing the crisis. And here are the leaders of the church, sound asleep. So our Lord issues, resounding out throughout all the centuries, Gregorite ke prosevcheste, stay awake and pray. Then, you see, it's this time. Now, in Mark, this is a small point, but it's interesting. That all takes place in chapter 14. In chapter 13, we have, and we might have it tomorrow. No, I guess we don't. The what's called the eschatological discourse. When our Lord, a lot like the book of Daniel, says, these are the signs that things are coming to a crisis. Maybe not the ultimate final crisis, but a crisis. And he describes them, and then he says something interesting. He says, be awake, lest when he comes, the Son of Man finds you asleep. Now, Mark takes those exact words and puts them in the agony of the garden. Jesus came and found them asleep. It is a mercy that we're all concerned about the finances and the health care. It's a mercy. It wakes us up. Now, what it keeps us awake is worrying about ourselves. But if we pray enough, the Lord will change that so that we're not worried about ourselves. We're worried about all those who don't know Him. They have nothing. Worry about them. They can be so bewitched, right? That they're willing to sell their soul. As I've said before, we have a minor crisis. It's not the end of the world. But this healthcare business, you know, is certainly written without any sense of transcendence at all. Or without any sense of human dignity. And there are some there who are being tempted to vote for it, though they know they shouldn't, because of gifts of money. You know, they can go home looking like a hero. Their state has been given hundreds of millions of dollars, or a new bridge across this river, or finish the highway to so-and-so. And for those things, you see, that's a large drowsiness. But we have little drowsinesses ourselves, right? Carousing and drunkenness, yes. And the anxieties of daily life. How do we pull ourselves out from such preoccupations? Only by prayer. Only by turning our hearts and minds to something else. Now, there's a way of prayer we can read the scriptures and get edifying thoughts and then go about our business. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being in living, conscious contact with the Lord Himself and listening to what He says to us.